Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 9. Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee prayed thus with himself, "Thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Years ago, one of my members came to me after church and was all excited to show me a dress that she was wearing that just a week earlier she had worn in the presence of the President of the United States. She worked for General Mills, and General Mills had selected her to go and represent their company, and she was given an audience with the President. And so she went to see, at the time, President Ronald Reagan, and she was all excited about this, as you can imagine. But she told me that she had to go through almost 2 hours of interrogation and security clearance and a variety of things, checking everything that she was wearing and so on. They taught her the proper protocol as to how to go and meet the President, how to stand in his presence, how to pose for pictures with him. And it was all very, very programmed ahead of time so that she would know exactly how to go when you approach the most powerful man in the world. And it was very clear and obvious to her this was a very, very big deal. And she was so excited to tell me about it. Today in our text, our Lord Jesus teaches us how to approach not just the most powerful human being, but God himself. How are we to go and approach God? It's really quite a daunting thing, isn't it? But our Lord Jesus instructs us today on how to go about that. Now, why does he have to teach us human beings and even religious people? Why does he have to teach us who are religious people about how to do this and how to do this properly? Well, the reason is because our natural approach inside of us is to kind of build ourselves up before God and think that there's something that God should be happy with about us. Because we're such great people and nice people and so on, it's easy for us to kind of approach God on the basis of some pride and on the basis of who we are, and especially as religious people, how we've lived our lives and things like that. As a Christian on this campus, you will probably find out pretty soon that not everybody who comes to attend Bethany is a Christian. And it's going to be easy for you to make a clear distinction between some of the activities that certain students may do that is different from you, maybe, as a Christian who really wants to live out your faith and tries to follow God's will. And it's not going to be hard for you to find somebody to compare yourself with. They're all over the place. Or maybe at work, maybe somebody you know from your high school and things. It's very easy for us to find people in our world that we measure up pretty well against, that our sanctified lives as followers of God and of the Christian faith, that we can look pretty good next to them. But the problem is the measuring stick that we want to use to determine how good we may look in comparison to others is really not the measuring stick that God wants us to use when it comes to our relationship to him. But there are certain sins in the world, and especially as our culture gets more and more ungodly, and it makes an even greater distinction between those who really seem to care about the things of God and those who obviously could care less. And the danger for us is that we can start comparing ourselves to just how far away so many people have become when it comes to the things of God. And so the same woman who can easily point out a lack of morality in someone else's life maybe doesn't think about the fact that gossip is also a sin that's deplorable before God, just as much as somebody sleeping around. Or maybe the guy that can easily see the wrong in certain types of lifestyles that people are living, maybe doesn't think about that with his own eyes, he can also be breaking the commandments of God. When I was a freshman here at Bethany, the legal drinking age was 18. And so freshmen in college pretty much could drink. And I had grown up in a family where a distant relative of mine was a severe alcoholic. And because of that, I just decided I was never going to drink. Trust me, I had plenty of other temptations. But that was one I was not going to do because I had seen how it destroyed his family and everything. But what I found for myself, my problem, was my pride when I looked at other students. I started to realize that I started puffing myself up because I didn't drink. And all these other people were doing this, sometimes to excess. And it was very easy for me to kind of start taking some pride in myself. Martin Luther says it's very easy for us to make idols out of ourselves. And that's exactly what our Lord is addressing here. Now, we need to make something very clear. There's a fine line between Christians, sanctified in their lives, trying to live the way God wants, and clearly recognizing evil and sin in the world. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is when we start in our own hearts feeling like, man, I'm sure glad I'm not like that. I'm sure glad I'm not as bad as that person. God, I thank you, I'm not like other people. Everything that this religious man, this Pharisee, he was the moral conservative of his day. He was the Bible believer of his day. He was Joe Religion of his day. And everything about him that we know that he's claiming is probably true. He probably gave very generously to the work of the Lord. He probably followed the commandments very particularly and was very careful about all of that. And his life was probably trying very hard to follow along the commandments of God. But the problem was, and this is the problem for all of us as believers in Christ, the devil likes to come and push us a little further on the cliff of just recognizing sin and take us to the point of saying, God, I thank you, I'm not like other people are. That's the danger. And the danger with that is we then bring that attitude when we approach God, and God says, you will not ever be justified in my presence by coming to me with that kind of a heart. So that's the warning our Lord is giving us. It's easy for us to think, boy, the world could sure use a lot more Don Molsteads. Okay? The world could sure use a lot more Christians like us who really are out there trying to do the Lord's work. God, I thank you, we're not like all the unbelievers out there. And it's easy for us to forget that the very faith that we have is grace, is something God had to give to us. It's something he had to work in our hearts. It's not something we did on our own. Now, the tax collector, this publican, who they were known for taking money off the top and stealing from people, he comes with a rather strange approach to God. Okay? And it flies in the face of logic and reason. It flies in the face of what natural religion would feel like. And that is to simply admit his guilt and to realize he has nothing upon which to stand in his own life before God as he approaches God. But this approach that he is teaching us can only be taught by the Holy Spirit. Only God himself is capable of teaching us this approach to God. He's ultimately, if you think about it, appealing to God through the cross, through the work of Christ, because that's where God has mercy on us. That's where his mercy floods down upon us, through the gracious forgiveness of sins he gives us because of the blood shed by his Son. And God teaches us in Scripture through the prophet Isaiah. He says, looking at someone who's troubled by their sins and realizes they don't deserve God's grace, God says, this is the one I esteem. That means I hold highly. He who is humble and contrite and trembles at my word. Completely flips on its head what we might think of as natural religion. But think about, in Jesus' ministry, think about how often he uses religious people to show the sin of self-righteousness. But then also how often he is seeking to find the sinner who is penitent and sorry for their sin and to lift them up with his grace and his forgiveness. Those who belong to the kingdom of grace can certainly recognize sin that's out there in the world. It's a natural thing for us to do. But their primary focus needs to always be here first, needs to always be on our own great need that we have for the forgiveness that God gives so freely in Christ. And so this penitent tax collector finds tremendous comfort in the mercy of God. Notice that the magnitude of his sin, how much he has stolen from people, it's not mentioned. It's not relevant to God in this context. Not even the frequency of how often he has done this. What matters is the condition of his heart and the fact that he knows he's a sinner and God cannot wait to come and forgive him. So this is the strange central teaching inside of the Christian faith. To approach God, the way to learn to approach God is to drop in front of him with your heart and admit and confess the depth of your sin and of your guilt. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. So may God the Holy Spirit keep us in our proper place before God and cause our appeals to God to only be based upon his deep compassion for us in Christ and not for anything in us. God be praised for his mercy. Amen.